The mind of faith is when you do believe what God said about it. The Bible speaks of the mystery of the faith. But as I say so often, the mystery of the faith, really faith is very simple. There's a great mystery about faith and understanding the details of it as to the functioning of it and the many things that you need to know about faith. But in all reality, faith itself is a very, very simple thing. Faith is that he has said it and you believe it and that settles it. That's what faith is he said it and you believe it and that's the way it is. And as I've said before, Brother Taylor tells me something, I don't have to wrestle with it. Because unless it's something that God wants me to do that Brother Taylor's telling me, the devil isn't going to wrestle against what Brother Taylor said. I'm not going to have a problem with it. But if God tells me something, then I'm going to have a constant war, a constant battle, a constant fight on my hands because there is a power that's going to war in my mind against that voice that spoke to me from God. And the reason it's going to do that is not necessarily because the devil feels that he can take that away from me or keep me from believing that, but because he can cause me to be so broken up as to my wavering in faith, that it'll never benefit me. That he can cause me to believe a little and doubt a little and believe a little and doubt a little to where it'll never be any benefit to me. You know? So I've got to ask in faith, nothing wavering. I've got to be able to believe and not doubt. And of course, if I can do this, then I can have whatever I want. Whatever I want, whatever I say, then I can have it. And to me, that thrills me. I just love that. That thrills me. That's a great challenge, my faith. To believe. Man lives so far beneath his privilege. I find myself all during my lifetime believing. All my lifetime I've been able to believe. And God has done great, marvelous, mighty things for me because I've been able to believe. And because of this, I love to exercise my faith in God. No matter what my problems might be, I like to believe God. All right, reading from chapter 4 of the book of Romans. It has to do with the very thing that we're speaking of. What shall we say then that Abraham our father had as pertaining to the flesh is found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessing of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only? Or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he hath yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed upon them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if we, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now receive the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, is abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offenses death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift come upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. There's enough here that you could preach on for weeks. But having spoke to you as many times as I have about the different things concerning Paul, the apostle of the Gentile church, being our overseer, I'm almost of a certainty that you understand many things that we are saying. One thing that I would really like to press upon you is that it says here that even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. So then the question arises, is there such a thing? Is there really such a thing that in the world somewhere today that there is a human being or there is a man that God would give righteousness to without him doing any works? Is there such a thing in the world today? Is there such a thing in the world today that there is a human being somewhere in the world today that God actually would give righteousness to him without doing any works? Is there such a being in the world today? Obviously there must be. Even as David also describes the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they. So when he uses the terms they, it must mean more than one. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. We use the term that there are people in the world today that cannot sin. And a lot of people dispute that. When I say something about people being in the world today that cannot sin, then there, of course, there's people that dispute that. There are preachers that dispute that. There are people even at Bethlehem, though they don't come right out and have a contest with me over it, but in their spirit they still have their traditional way of life, and they come to church and they go along with the Bethlehemites and they're part of us, but really down in their heart, their conviction is the same as before I ever preached to them and told them these things. They still have the same old indoctrination that they've always had. See, and so far as what I've taught them or what I've tried to preach to them, they really haven't received that nor placed confidence in that. And so then they're the same old individual they've always been. But nevertheless, to those that are of this message and are of this word and are of this covenant that God has brought forth, as to blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. There are people that have their iniquities forgiven. God has actually forgiven their iniquities, and God, by his blood, has covered their sins. And the Bible says they are blessed because God will not impute sin unto them. Blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin unto. Blessed is the individual unto whom God will not impute sin unto. So there's people in the world today that God will not impute sin unto. It doesn't matter how much they stumble. It doesn't matter how many mistakes they make. It doesn't matter how long they live in the world. God will never at any time during their lifespan impute sin unto them one time. There will never at any time in the whole episode of the entirety of their life, never at one time will sin ever cross their path or be imputed unto them. They will be without sin during their entire lifetime. So then when I preach this, where the Bible said, and the seed of God remaineth in you, and you cannot sin because you are born of God, then I'm not just carrying out a saying. I'm not just reading something to you in the Bible that doesn't have any meaning or any significance. I'm telling you a profound truth. I'm preaching to you the Word of God. And from that word comes the conviction of heart through hearing, and the faith, and faith in what I've said will save your soul from death. So then, blessed is the man that cannot sin. Blessed is the man, he is saying, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. What he is saying is, blessed is the man that cannot sin because he is born of God. The man that's in the earth today, to whom God will not impute sin, is the man that's been born again. The man that is the sons of God. The man are women that are the sons and daughters of God. These are they unto whom God will not impute sin. God will not impute sin unto his sons and daughters because his sons and daughters are sinless. Blessed are the sons and daughters of God, for they are without sin, and God will not impute sin unto them because they cannot sin in that they are born of God. In them that cannot sin, then the devil has no advantage over them whatsoever. So we should never give place to the devil. It doesn't matter what happens to us. It doesn't matter how much the devil is right on our trail to pursue us, to oppress us, to say things, or to cause hindrance. Paul said, I would have come unto you, but the devil hindered me. It doesn't matter how much the devil tried to hinder you. You stand right steadfast in the word and realize that the devil can never touch you at any time, that you belong to God, that you cannot sin, that you're born of God, that you're delivered from the powers of Satan, and that you have all power over the powers of the enemy. All right. Somebody said, well, praise God, that means I'll never have another problem. That means you're having strong delusions. That's just like going through a briar patch saying you ain't never going to get a scratch on you. But it's one thing about it, just because you're in a briar patch, you don't have to become a rabbit and live there. So, it is said here, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven. So I would ask the question tonight, I would say to the congregation, I would say, do we have anybody here at all whose iniquities are forgiven? I see some hands. We have some people whose iniquities are forgiven. How do you know that they're forgiven? Can anybody tell me how that you know that they're forgiven? How do I know that my iniquities are forgiven? I know it because God said so. If God said so, then that settles it. If God said so, I know that they are forgiven. So then that means I know that they are forgiven by faith. I believe what he says. So in that I believe what he says, then my iniquities are forgiven. So my iniquities are forgiven. Now, in that he will not impute iniquity unto me, then what will he do to me? The Bible says, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. And being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Abraham being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. The Bible says that Abraham's faith was imputed unto him for righteousness. For the Bible said God purifies our heart by faith. That is to say, my heart. The Bible said, and the heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful and wicked above all things. Who can know it? But yet the Bible said that if I'll believe in what Christ did in my behalf, then the Spirit of Almighty God will come down into my heart, wash it, clean it, sanctify it, and fill it with his presence, to where it'll never be wicked again. I find that God has not only taken my iniquities away, not only has he made me to where he will not impute iniquity unto me, but he hath imputed righteousness unto me. He hath given me righteousness. So then what has righteousness got to do with? God is the Spirit of righteousness. He is the Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of cleanliness, the Spirit of godliness, and righteousness is of God. And if I believe in what God did while he lived in the human body of Jesus Christ, in that he did that for me, and I'm now dead to sin by the body of his efforts, and I'm now dead to the world by the body of his gift, I am now dead to sin, and I'm now dead as far as death and sorrow and heartaches and the wrath of God. I'm dead to all of that. I am alive of the resurrection of Jesus Christ to all the blessings of God, in that he was delivered for my offenses, esteemed him smitten of God in my behalf, and he was raised again in a new form for my justification. I am now therefore justified by faith in what he did for me. And now my heart is filled with his Spirit. I've been baptized in his name, for the Bible said, remission of sins shall be preached in his name. Because my sins are remitted, which means taken away, by the fact that I've acknowledged that he died in my place, and that that was me that God smote, and that when they put me down under the water, that buried the body that God smote, and that body is forever gone. He smote the image of sin that was born into the world that was named George Pike, and it's dead and it's gone. And then when that body came up on the other side as the Lord Jesus Christ, today I am that body. I am bone of his bone, and I am flesh of his flesh, and I am members in particular, and the body of death is gone, and the vile, wretched body is gone, and God never sees that bastard child image again, that body of flesh again, that body of faults and failures again, but he sees me as the glorified, spotless image of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said, and the Lord is coming back after a church without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. And when the Lord breaks forth from the heavens in Thessalonians, when he comes back in the clouds of heaven, I, all of a sudden as he appears in the heavens, will be changed into the glorified image of the Son of God. When he looks down at that glorified image, I will be a church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. I will be his perfect likeness. I will be his perfect righteousness. I will be his perfect bone. I will be his perfect flesh. I will be the perfect spotless church that he came back after before I ever lift a foot off of the ground, because I have been changed. And all of this righteousness of God as to Christ on the inside had been made manifest, as to this life of Christ within me had been made manifest in the mortal genes of my natural body. So then God imputes righteousness unto me without works. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I like that. So then by one man, Adam, all of us was under sin and death. But God did not require it of men until the law came. And when the law came, sin was revealed to us by the knowledge of the law. And then we knew about transgression. And when we come to know about transgression, that became sin. For the Bible said transgression of the law is sin. Or to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. So we came to know what was good and what was bad. And it became sin and it became death. And so then we abode unto death until the seed, even Christ, to whom the promise was made. Until that seed came. And when that seed, the Lord Jesus Christ, came at Calvary, then death was abolished within that body and sin was gone. For he made in himself twain. He made in himself one man as to putting away the man Adam that had sinned against God and making an end of that generation and the old tree of knowledge, and that the Bible said, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. Doing away with the tree of knowledge and then made himself the second as to twain, as to say the resurrected one appearing in a new form as to the tree of life, that it might be the very body of Almighty God, sown in weakness, raised in power, sown a natural body, raised a spiritual body, sown a terrestrial, and raised a celestial. So today, we are completely free, and by one man, righteousness under life has come upon all of us. So then we're free from death by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God does not see us as sinners anymore, but he sees us as his dear children, which means we are heirs and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're free from sin and death, and we are fortunate people because we have come to know the truth. Many people throughout the world today, religious people, Pentecostal people, Catholic people, Baptist people, don't understand these kind of things that we understand. But we're fortunate because God has made us to understand these things. So someone would say, well, this is wonderful. That means that we can go our way and do what we want to do. And that is true. We can now go our way and do what we want to do. If you want to go to the horse races, you can now go to the horse races. If you want to go to the car races, you can go to the car races. If you want to go to the wrestling, you can go to the wrestling. If you want to go to the ball games, you can go to the ball games. If you want to rob a bank or kill somebody, take another man's wife or take another woman's husband, or whatever you'd like to do, you can just go do it now. See, because everything is all fixed, and you can go do what you want to. And if you want to go do holy and godly and pure and be pure and godly and holy and win souls and feed the needy and help the poor and to watch after those that need help and win the lost and evangelize the world, you can do that too. See, whatever you'd like to do, you can go do it now. Because God has made it possible for you just to go do whatever you want to do now. And you don't have to worry about it anymore. Somebody says, well, what will happen to me if I do that? Well, the blood is on the seat of atonement. And the rain is on the unjust just like it's on the just. And you can go out there and the goodness and the blessings of the Lord will still be just falling away. Because he cannot see your wrong because he's looking at you through the blood. See, but after a little while, the blood will be taken off the seat of atonement. And the Lord will put you in hell for your evil doings. But you that had the want to of righteousness, it will be a positive proof that you was born again because you had the right want to. And God will bless you with eternal life. And when the blood is taken off of the seat of atonement, your blessing will continue. And your cup will continue to overflow. And rivers of living water shall flow out of your innermost being, and throughout eternity you will enjoy eternal life and the wonderful eternal wealth of God. So then God has fixed it. He has fixed it. There's a little song they sing, let Jesus fix it for you. So then Jesus has fixed it. So we see how that God has so fixed it to where we can do what we want to do. He has given us our freedom and given us our sovereignty to where we can do what we want to do. Like Saddam over yonder, he says that he knows that they're going to win that battle against Bush because God is with them. And of course, I suppose Mr. Bush feels the same way. You know that we're going to win it because God's with us. And, of course, I feel like that both of them needs to get right so God can be with them. You know, because I feel like God with us. Let's give the Lord a hand. So wonderful to know that you can believe the right thing. And then, of course, there is the danger of believing a lie and being damned. God sending you strong delusions, causing you to believe a lie because you have not a love for the truth. So we see then that you are free from death. Now I could go on and go on commenting on this tonight. I'm not going to. But I'd like for that to stick with you tonight. Therefore, being justified by works, ye should strive always with all of your ritualistics.
that you might scarcely make it in if there's any hope for you.
That don't sound right, does it? That's because it isn't right. Therefore, being justified by faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with our Heavenly Father through the grace that He's given us by the finished works of the Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, having faith in God, we have peace with God through what the Lord has done for us. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe on His righteousness. I've been filled with His Spirit by believing in the righteousness of the Son of God. And today I have His Spirit, which is called the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, living on the inside of me, because I believe in the finished works of His atonement. I try to do works of righteousness. The Bible said, "He that nameth the name of the Lord Jesus, let him depart from iniquity. Let him maintain good works." Not because that he is working so he can get to heaven. Like I said, you don't work to try to make a living. You're not working to sustain your life spiritually. You are doing the things that your nature calls for. Your nature is the Christ nature. Your nature is Christ on the inside, and it's always been the nature of Christ to do the things of Christ. It is the nature of God to do God things. It is the nature of Brother Pike to do Brother Pike things. When I died, Brother Pike died. When I became God in the flesh, as to my measure, as to my birth, as to my membership, then it was my nature to do God things. Because it's not me living but Him. And whatever I do, Paul said, I do it as unto the Lord. And the things I say as unto the Lord. And it's not me speaking unto you but as the Lord. And I speak as the oracles of Christ. So then it's not I that liveth but Christ that liveth within me. So the body is now the Lord's. And I strive to submit my thoughts, to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, that it might be Christ in His fullness living in me, that I can say with Paul, it's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me. In the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. So then I do what comes spiritually. What comes spiritually in my life, that's to be like Christ, because that's my life. That's my nature. That's my design. And the apple tree doesn't have any problem bearing apples. It doesn't make any special effort to bear apples. It doesn't have to toil to bear apples. It just stands out there in all of its brilliance. And as the rain and the sunlight come, it just produces big, beautiful apples, because it's its nature to present luscious, juicy apples. And if you have the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ, it'll just be your nature to produce the lovely fruits of the Spirit. And your branches will be filled with the lovely, luscious fruits of the Spirit, until your tree will just be loaded down with the loveliness of the fruits of Almighty God. Let's stand together. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The law then was added because of transgression. Why did the law then come? It came because of transgression. The law was added because of transgression. Why did the Lord give the law? He gave it 430 years after He gave the plan of salvation to Abraham by faith. Why did He give it? It was added because man was transgressing the way of the Lord, and God wanted to reveal to man that he was contrary to the ways of righteousness. So it was added because of transgression. Until the seed, Christ Jesus, to whom the promise was made, should come. Once the seed come, then the law was folded up and laid away, because there was no need for the law. Jesus fulfilled every jot and tittle
And once he come, the law was then taken out away because righteousness was then upon all mankind. And the law is taken away now. So we don't have to serve the law. Wherefore serve the law, Paul said. Desire again to be under bondage, the days and those kind of things, and I'm afraid of you. All right, let's sing together. Let's abide within this wonderful word of God and continue in the lovely laws of the freedom of Almighty God, rejoicing in the wonderfulness of our Savior. Let's sing I Love Him, Kim. Now we're getting a real good respond out of Russia. Today, Sister Betty was telling us that we got a letter from Russia. And somebody says 2 years ago that a stranger along the streets of Russia was passing out some literature. And that they got a hold of this literature. And in that they got a hold of this literature, that it had thrilled their soul. And the way that they put it, and they wanted more of this literature. This was the essence of the things that they said, and said also that somehow in connection with Little Bethlehem or the people of Little Bethlehem, somebody else had written from Russia and said they'd gotten a hold of a Bible, or they knew of someone that had gotten hold of a Bible, and they were pleading that should give them a Bible. This created such a great, beautiful, bright spot in the life of those that received it, that they were asking for a Bible. And then we got a response from over in some prison where it said that these tapes that you're sending into these prisons, they said that they're so inspirational. The prisoners are carried away with them and said that they're so inspirational that this particular place, that the chaplain has decided to quit preaching to them and just play the tapes. Said he believes this message. So I thought that was real good. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. All right, let's sing this song. Let's sing this song, I Love Him. I love him all because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Sing it with me again now. I love you. The altars are open. I love him all that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation. On Calvary's tree, every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line.
And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Once again, for every promise in the book, it is thine. Stop and think now. Stop and think. We're children of God by faith. And if children, then heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And think now, you don't have to do any works. Just by what the Lord Jesus Christ did, because you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, then you belong to Him tonight. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I didn't do as much work for Him yesterday as I did today. Or I didn't do as much today as I did day before yesterday. Where does that put me? Had nothing to do with it. It didn't have nothing to do with it when you've done a lot of work. It didn't have nothing to do with it when you didn't do much work. It does have something to do with it as to your reward. You'll be rewarded according to your works. That is to say, the type work, whether it's good or bad. And you'll be rewarded in the sense that you need to get down to business and do more for Christ Jesus. You know, gone to a full reward. Every promise in the book, it is mine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And I'm trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. One more time together. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And I'm trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. You love Him? Let's sing this little chorus together. Let's sing that little chorus, Brother Taylor. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Is the lily of my valley. He, my bright and morning star. He's the fount of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Who Jesus said. For He is the lily of your valley, and He's your bright and morning star, and He's the first of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Sing it one more time. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Is God.
indeed, my life and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. For he is the lily of your valley, and he's your bright and morning star. The fairest of 10,000, everybody up low. Let's sing this little chorus. Sweet Jesus, what a wonder. Far brighter
and the
morning star,
and your
feral lily that blooms by the way, precious, more precious than gold.
Sing it again.
Oh, my Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are brighter than the morning star. You are fair, a little that blooms by the way. Precious, more precious than gold. And he was here all the time. My Lord was here all the time.
Singing with me.
Waiting patiently in line, he was here all the time.
Sing that with me again.
My Lord was here all the time. Jesus was here all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was here all the time. And Jesus touched me. Oh, he touched me. And my soul, Something happened, and now I know that Jesus touched me, and He made me whole. For my Lord touched me. Oh, He touched me, and oh, joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know that He touched me, and He made me whole. One more time. For Jesus touched me. Oh, yes, He touched me. Oh, the joy that floods my soul. Oh, something has happened, and now I know. And He made me whole. We don't need no gold or silver, and we don't need no all we need is the love of Jesus for me. God's everything, so I don't want no gold or silver, and I don't want your worldly fame. All I want is more of Jesus. For to me, God's everything. So we don't need no gold or silver, and we don't need no diamond. All I need is the love of Jesus for me. God's everything. I don't want your gold or silver. I don't want your worldly thing. All I want is the love of Jesus for me, God, everything. Let's sing this little chorus. We're going to let you go. We'll let tomorrow just be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the rain falls, or if the sun
shine.
I'll be happy, oh, so happy in my life.
Will let tomorrow be tomorrow.
I'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the rain falls, the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh, so happy in my soul once again.
So let tomorrow
be tomorrow. I'll serve the living God that has control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh, so happy.
Can you sing it one more time with me? We'll let tomorrow be tomorrow.
We'll serve the living God that has control. If the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy. My soul.
Can you lift your hands with me and close your eyes? Let's sing this little chorus, I Will Praise Him.
I will praise Him.
Once again now, I want Brother Snyder to come and dismiss us tonight.
I